on Ball and a Semi brings you
Phoenix City.
Welcome to Phoenix City for another week. Frosty is away this week, so I'm joined by Dave and Cam. How are you doing, gents?
Hello, hello.
I'm very well, thank you, Patrick.
Good to hear. And this week we are joined by a very special guest and new arrival to Wellington, David Ball, new signing for the Wellington Phoenix. Thank you for coming on, David.
No worries, thanks for having me.
And I guess you've only been here for, 4 or 5 days so far? Or?
Yeah, it's about 5 days, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Still catching
just
up.
Catching up with the days and what day it is and what time it is, really. Yeah.
Probably the worst question to ask you when everything is topsy-turvy and that kind of thing. Are you enjoying Wellington so far?
I am, yeah. I'm excited about it. Really excited to get my family over here and show them around. And yeah, I got a really good feeling about it.
You probably haven't had a chance to see much of the city yet, but is there anything you've done or anywhere the boys have taken you so far?
They took me for a haircut, so I don't know what they thought about my hair originally.
Was that custom cuts on custom house key?
I do notice that your hair is very different to the promo photo that was released by the Phoenix social media accounts.
I did actually ask about that photo and said that was a one-off. Have you got any better ones? But we'll stick with it.
Yeah, it's quite different. I guess we'll jump into kind of where you've been and what your playing history is and that kind of thing. You've played, I had a quick look on Wikipedia today because before that, but kind of League One, League Two, British football has been where you've been your entire career almost?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I spent a season and a half in League Two, and then predominantly the rest in League One and floated with the Championship a little bit as well.
So it was Fleetwood Town was kind of... Was it Fleetwood Town?
Yeah, Fleetwood Town, yeah.
Correct. You've been there for kind of 3 or 4 years, was it?
Yeah, about 5 years it was originally. We got a promotion from League Two when I went there into League One. And we had some good seasons. We finished third in League One when I actually left there. So, yeah, I did a good stint there. I think I've got the top goal scoring thingy there for the club and appearances in the league as well.
You playing as a striker mainly over there, or
mainly as a striker slash 10.
Yep.
I've always said that I am a 9 and a 10 pretty much. I flutter between the both positions, yep. and that's the way I've been for most of my career. Yeah.
You hoping to continue that here, or do you have a preference either way?
No, I'd obviously like to the way the manager wants to play. I see myself being a number 9. I think we've got obviously Ullie's very creative. We've got some good players. Yeah. I think that who can supply me with the chances that I need. And I think one big part of my game is probably my finishing. So if I can get in the right positions, I think there's lads there that'll find me.
So you've just done a season on loan to Bradford.
Yep.
And you've then decided to, instead of going back to home club, fly halfway around the world to Wellington. What kind of what brings that on for someone who's only played in the UK and then wants to come to New Zealand and play New Zealand Australian football?
I think last year, the season before, I'd got obviously played a big part in getting promoted to the Championship with Rotherham. I started away at Brentford in a game against Wigan, and the manager originally said to me, pulled me in and was like, listen, the way you played as a 10, I think we're going to play packed in the midfield. And because obviously Rotherham was a bit of an underdog in the league at the time, and said, I'm going to go really big up top and try and hit him. And, I see you as playing on the bench. So obviously a move to Bradford suited me in terms of location and home and stuff like that.
So, are you from around there in the UK?
I'm from Manchester.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's about a 40-minute commute.
Yeah.
So it was just ideal in terms of a loan deal, and obviously Bradford's a big club. It's got a good fan base. Mm. And unfortunately, it just didn't go the way it was supposed to go there in terms of the players.
Yeah.
I ended up playing centre midfield for the whole season, pretty much. So, you know, from a personal view, scoring the goals I did from the centre midfield wasn't actually as bad as it looks in terms of figures. And then, obviously, come to the summer, I had a lot of offers to stay in League One. Obviously, this came around at the same time. And I felt it was a really good... I felt like I didn't want to come to somewhere, when you know... 33, 34 and try. I think, you know, them chances to come somewhere like this would be gone. So I thought 29, I feel like I'm in a good place, good playing some, you know, I'm fit. I felt like if I'm going to do it, it's do it now.
Have you had much exposure to the A-League before? I'm guessing probably not.
No, other than, obviously, I love football, so any football that's on TV, I watch it.
Some of the games are on BT over there?
Yeah, some of the games are on BT, so I do get to see a lot of the games, and obviously the stadiums and the fan bases and everything that I've seen. It looks a real competitive league that, you know, I think that I'm coming here, like I said, I'm not just coming here for a jolly up. I'm coming here to win things and be successful here.
Yeah. I think it's hard for us to tell, kind of, and we ask this question a lot about what the standard of the A-League is compared to overseas leagues. And I kind of say it's somewhere between League One and the Championship, but I have no idea really, because I don't follow that well enough. But a lot of people here know the English leagues, and so that is the comparison. But from what you've seen, do you kind of see it as adjacent to League One?
I think top end League One, bottom end Championship towards that degree. I think I'll obviously, in 6 months' time, I could tell you different and say it's the top end of the Championship. I think it's, like I say, it's competitive. I look at the lads that have come over from England, who have all played Championship or maybe higher. So if you look at it in that sense, if you put it around there, it should fit.
Yeah. I think Adam Lafondra.
Yeah, Alfie. Yeah. I actually know Alfie.
Oh, okay.
So obviously, Ufi worked with Alf last year, and when I spoke to the manager, I also spoke to Alf as well, and Alf spoke so highly about it and said himself, you know, he was surprised how actually real competitive and how good everything is out here, and he said if you got the chance to do it, do it.
So that helped solidify the decision to jump around the world.
Yeah, it did. Obviously, my family as well was really supportive of it. My wife and my two kids was really supportive of it, so I thought, why not? I'd like to, you know, in my career, I'd like to look back and think, you know, I've gone for something that I wanted to do, and not look back and go, oh, I regretted not coming here.
And there's plans in place for them to come around and join you here?
I'm just getting the house sorted now for them. Hopefully be here in about 3 weeks' time.
Okay, that's pretty soon. So, comparatively, sometimes.
Not for me. She's obviously doing a lot of stuff back home, getting my house sorted and the kids sorted and stuff like that. So yeah, I'll be looking forward to them coming to see me.
So your youth career was at Manchester City and was coincided with Sheikh Mansour's takeover. That must have been quite an experience being there at that time, going from what was obviously a decent level club as it was to the sheer wealth that would have come into the club then. What was that like?
It was fantastic on a club basis, and being a fan as well. It was fantastic. I think it probably hindered a lot of my age group and where we'd actually got to at that time, because I think around that time I'd got into the squad, the first team squad. I made 3 or 4 bench appearances, and then obviously, you know, the likes of the Tevez and Rubinho started to come, and Mark Hughes was the manager then, who actually showed a lot of faith in me at the time. So working for 13 years to obviously get to that point, it's tough. And he unfortunately, after I had them 3 bench appearances, he actually got sacked, Mark Hughes, with Mancini coming in, and obviously the influx of the money really started to roll. Really started to roll. And like I said, as a fan, it was fantastic. But as a player and a young lad, it was tough. It was tough to compete with that type of player.
That's happening quite a lot in the especially the top teams in the Premier League, though, right? And does that mean that there are a bunch of players in your generation who just couldn't break into teams that they had been working for 7, 8, 9 years to get to.
Yeah, 100%. It's tough because, you know, especially in England, you're fighting against the rest of the world because of obviously the money that comes into it. I look back at when we won the FA Youth Cup. We played Chelsea in the final, and I think our team was around. I think the City had spent about 250 grand on that, our team, compared to their, I think it was 8 million. Wow. Pound in there, yeah. You know, at that time, what was that, under 18s?
That's ridiculous.
So you look at that and you think that's what you're competing with all around the world.
Yeah.
Cam,
trying to throw to Cam for a question and he's chips in his mouth.
No, I guess you've talked about being a fan, so is it fair to say that that's still your club, the club you support?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's a funny household. My partner's from Liverpool, so her side are all Liverpool fans, and me.
That's magic.
Yeah, it's my magic over here. Yeah,
I'm wearing the Liverpool jacket.
Yeah. And my two sons, they're Liverpool fans as well.
And they haven't converted you yet? Come on.
No. I was in the household obviously when they won the Champions League, and
good man.
I'm not gonna lie. I celebrated with him just for the fact of pure football.
And saying that, so you're a Manchester lad playing for Manchester City, and one of your bench appearances was actually the derby, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Owen scored, I think, like the 96th minute winner or something like that.
Yeah,
that must have been an experience and a half.
Yeah, it was obviously a surreal experience. I remember in the dressing room just letting me know and saying, yeah, you're on the bench, and obviously as a Manchester lad, and I understand how big it is there, the derby. It was something special for me, so obviously it didn't pan out in the last minute the way, but it was an experience, and an experience that I'm glad I've been fortunate to have.
Cool.
So bringing it back to Wellington and the Phoenix, you've probably had a few training sessions so far with the team.
But I've gradually been built in just because obviously missed the week and obviously the jet lag and stuff.
Yeah.
So I managed to get 10 minutes in game time today with the team, and they've been laughing because I've been doing obviously running on the side, but they've been working really, really hard. So they keep saying, "Are you a footballer or a runner?" So I've not been able to show them what I can do, but fortunately I got 10 minutes today, so it was nice.
So is that kind of the vibe that Ufi's going for? We haven't really heard about what's happening at training at the moment, so I'm going to try and pray. He's working the boys hard and getting them straight into it, no kind of easing in, but straight at high level?
Yeah, it's high level. It's when we're working hard. From what I see, you know, we're working through a lot of shape and the way we want to play and the way the manager wants to go about everything, making sure everyone knows what's going on, whether it's the jobs at the back, the jobs on the tens, the jobs on the six, you know, we're working through everything, and it's been really good. It's a real positive group, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Was the footballing philosophy of Ufi a part of what convinced you to come over here? I'm sure that he would have said, "This is what I intend to do."
Yeah, it was 100%. Yeah. I think the way, like I said, Alfie spoke about him, and then the way he came across on the phone, you get a feeling for someone that you want to play for, and you feel that you can fit in, and he was certainly that, and the way he conducts himself is top notch, and I was really impressed by him.
And the same thing as on the training field, the same way with the players.
Yeah, he's like I said, he wants to work, and the way he wants to play, he wants it to be an enjoyable environment, but a working environment. And I think, you know, if you go down there and you see the group of lads training and working, you see smiles on their faces, but really working hard.
How does that compare to League One, League Two overseas? I mean, we don't really see it.
So
is it the same kind of culture there? Or
it tries to be. I think in terms of, because obviously the pre-season's a bit longer here.
Yeah.
You know, the first 2 weeks in England's real cram it in and get really high, no footballs for, you know, most of that, and you usually get a pretty bit of a pre-season trip, and that's usually to Austria where you just run up and down hills. it's a different feel. So obviously you've got that problem where you want to keep everyone working hard, but also you don't want to burn them out and keep them fresh and building a pace to get ready for the season.
Is it an interesting vibe with so many, I guess, young players at training at the moment and, you know, a relatively young squad he's building? Do you feel a bit of extra pressure at that training and just going forward to be a bit of a leader within that? Or
Yeah, definitely. I think that's part of my parcel of why I'm here. I think he's, you know, the manager did his checks on me, and that's part and parcel of the way I've been throughout my career. I've always helped the young lads because ultimately, if that young lad next to me is doing his work and doing the right things, it's going to affect me. It's going to get me goals. It's going to, you know, make me play well as well. So we're all in it together. And if I can get the best out of the young lads and like the other lads, the older lads, they can do the same as well. It'll create a great environment.
Sorry, I thought you were leaning into the mic there. You just got the chips.
If they're going to sit there, I'm going to eat them. You probably should take them away from me. I'm already a fat bastard.
Move them away from other people in the room and put them in front of you.
No, just don't bring them over. No.
Chat, love it. Yeah. Has there been any talk about goals, either personal for you this season or team goals? Is it too early in the season? In the pre-season?
I think it's early on. Yeah. I think the manager set standards of, like I said, how he wants to do things. I think further as the squad starts to come together, and I'm sure there'll be more additions. And I think for myself on a personal level, it's get to 10 goals as quick as you can, and then anything after that is bonus. I think that's the way I've always is gone in my career.
There's a lot of goals in the squad to replace from last season.
Yeah, exactly.
Way to chuck the pressure on.
No, come on.
I'm saying it's a good thing.
I did my research, so I did my research, and obviously the boys last year did fantastically.
Yeah. Two of them in particular.
So hopefully I get myself on penalties as well. That's something I've not been able to do throughout my career. So I've only had two penalties in my career.
All right.
So one went in and one missed. So
that's probably better than
so. If you look at
Roy's record from the spot, that's actually accurate. Right. he was 50-50.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you know, I think. But most of the goals I've ever scored are all from open play, so I've been proud of that.
Speaking of goals, I just remembered that you were nominated for an award for a goal once, for the Puskas Award, 2015.
Yeah.
What was that kind of like? Because I guess you don't really think about that when you've scored a goal. You just go, I've scored a goal with her. But,
was it a cross?
No. It was I'd actually done it a couple of days earlier in training, a similar type of goal anyway, and I was actually on the bench that day. And it was last 20 minutes, and I kind of said to one of the lads, if you look after the goal, I'd celebrate with a bench. It was obviously like a derby with Preston, and one of the lads, and I said to him, I'm gonna get on the pitch, and any opportunity, I'm gonna try something, or I'm gonna get my shot off, and if I score, I'll run over to you.
Yeah,
and that was the rest. The rest was history, and I ran over and.
But definitely not a cross.
No, 100% shot. Yeah,
I don't believe you.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you get to attend the awards at the end of all that?
No, I didn't. I think you had to be in the top three, and obviously, Fleetwood being such a small fan based club. It was tough to get. It was obviously
public voting.
The votes. Yeah, it was tough, and obviously, like at the time, the FA in England couldn't really push it for obvious reasons, and it was an unbelievable experience. I was doing interviews all over the world, and
Was it last season or the year before that Riley McGree?
Yeah, in the playoffs. The season before last.
A-League playoff scored a scorpion goal.
Yeah,
and
from 30 yards.
The fluke. That was a fluke. That's intentional.
Yeah.
What David's done is intentional. What Riley McGree's done is a fluke.
Just for us that we got pummeled with about this goal, and it was ridiculous. Like, it was just a goal, but I can only imagine being on the inside of it.
Yeah, yeah. Everything goes viral now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So in terms of, I remember waking up to a text saying off the media guy, saying ring me immediately. Got some great news for you. For signing for Man City again.
I mean, that would be the ultimate payoff from a goal like that.
So he obviously told me that, and it was fantastic. Something you can obviously tell you to, you know, show your children, and it's, you know, it's going to be there forever. I think just it's only me and Wayne Rooney that's English that's been nominated, so it's a nice, great feeling.
It's good to be able to put yourself in the same sentence as Wayne Rooney, legitimately,
yeah. And I think if you look at the list as well, it was a good list as well of players. So yeah. It was. I've got a little plaque at home with the names and nominations on it. So it's lovely.
Scoring a goal like that for the Wellington Phoenix.
Which one was Rooney's one?
The derby, I think.
The bike?
Was it the overhead kick? Yeah.
Shinned it.
Yeah. Was it against Liverpool?
No, it was a derby. It was against City.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he still shinned it. It was a shit goal.
Okay.
Tell us how you really feel.
Sure, that was out of nowhere.
Obviously, you've talked a little about having seen some of the A-League before. Do you, you know, from over in England, it probably doesn't feel particularly like there's, you know, one New Zealand team against all the Australians. Does it feel a bit more like that now that you're here, you know, the one team, the outsiders? Do you feel like there's some extra pressure, you know, as the underdog in that situation, or...? It doesn't feel like that.
I think obviously because I've been here. Obviously when we start to play games and we fly across, and then it'll, you know, feel as if I'm not in the same country in terms of that. But no, it's not. It's not really had that feel. I think the success of last year, of doing well. I think that'll bode well for us this year again, and show that we are here to do well and trying to achieve something this year.
Has anyone shown you how long the flight to Perth is?
I was going to ask the same thing.
It's a fair way.
I was telling everyone back home, I was like, yeah, the longest away trip's about 3.5 hours.
That's the close one.
Yeah.
That is the closest.
And then I got here and someone said, oh, what about that flight to Perth? It's 8 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And he was like, it's one of the longest in domestic football.
Sometimes it's the longest. It depends if there's one Russian team that sometimes gets promoted.
Depends which league the Russian teams are in, because if you have to go one coast to the other in Russia, it's longer. But if the leagues don't pan out, no one has to go that far.
Exactly.
It's kind of
sometimes it's like Vladivostok or something, and they have to go to St. Petersburg, which is ridiculous. Yeah. But
we used to hate Perth Glory. They used to be our rivals, but that's now Western United. The new derby. Is there anything that you? I don't know what this question is. Hang on, start again, Pat. I think before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to say to the fans about what you're here to do? Or
I'm just excited to be in Wellington. I'm excited to see the fans and hope and get to, you know, obviously come to the games, and I just want to, you know, see the atmosphere and what it's like, what it's about to play for Wellington. The sooner, you know, I'm getting that feeling now, and I'm getting that feeling around the training ground and what it means. I'm looking at pictures and I'm looking at, you know, people that have played for the club and all them type of things, and personally that makes me excited to be part of Wellington Phoenix, and hopefully I can be here and do well for the club and do well for the fans and everyone that's, you know, you know, put the faith in to bring me here.
How are you feeling about the Wellington weather so far?
Oh, it's up and down, isn't it?
It's been interesting.
This is really mild. This is really mild. This is lovely. This is never like this in Wellington in winter.
It's only when the tree was nearly felt like it was coming in the window last night, the other night.
You've seen the thunderstorm and some rain and flooding. And
we'll just add an earthquake and then you'll have the whole trifecta.
Yeah.
I've been told about them. I've not told my wife about any of that stuff yet, so I'll get her over here first.
That bodes well on past history.
we're not going to talk about earthquakes in Wellington Phoenix.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming and joining us. But it gets you out of the Airbnb by the sounds of it. So
I've fully enjoyed it.
Yeah, hopefully you enjoy Wellington and we turn the weather on and training and football goes really well. So good luck for the season, and I'm sure we'll see you before the season starts again.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. All right. That was good. He was a good chatter.
He was, He was, and he's obviously over here by himself and hasn't been here very long, so probably keen to get out of the house, to be fair.
Yeah, sounded like it. Yeah. No, I'm excited to see what he pulls out. Hopefully he fits the I think I saw on Twitter, might have been Ryan's Rovers say it, that hopefully he's the Chris Greenacre and he gets a Paul Eiffel as well.
That's a really good way to describe it, actually.
I think he's probably the most similar to Chris Greenacre in terms of players with sign, not just because of his nationality, but if he can get a Paul Eiffel who can score the 15 goals and he can get 10, then we're set. So,
well, and I think there's every chance as well that he might bang in quite a few himself. I think he has done that in the past, and you know, you hear him talk about how he's played most of recent time as a central midfielder and all that stuff. You know, the stats we're looking at are not necessarily reflective of what he might be able to do if he plays as a nine for a full season.
Yeah,
but whether or not we'll play him as a nine, who knows? We'll see.
If Davila, well, I don't actually know.
Davila, I think we got told on the forum thread that there's only one L, so it's Davila, not Davila.
Okay, so if Davila is the player that we hope and the player that his pedigree would suggest, then he could be the Eiffel to his Greenacre.
Yeah.
So there's every possibility we've got those people on board.
Yeah, we just need them to deliver on the park. Anyway, earlier today, as we release, as we record, Phoenix announced Te Arawhai Hudson Wihongi as a signing, which is very good. It's kind of a few years in the making. He's kind of been in and around the talk, and finally today they've announced that.
By all accounts, it was essentially done last year.
Yeah,
he just missed out through injury.
Yeah, which is a shame for him.
You know, very bad timing on his part, and that's just hard luck. But luckily, it's come back around the opportunity again, and looks like things are going to go well this time.
Yeah, I think he's not going to. Do you reckon he could be the old Alex Rufo, where he's kind of pushing for that centre mid spot and that kind of thing?
No, I think we're playing. He's signed as a Kiwi defender. I think he's the Tom Dawe replacement.
Okay,
personally, not as a left back, as a centre back. Tom was
playing centre back.
His biggest strength was the left-sided centre back.
Yeah.
So I think that's perhaps where he's looking.
I think that'll be an option, but I don't know that they'll necessarily look at him just as that. I think he's good because he offers a bit of versatility. Yeah. You can use him there, but you can also use him a bit higher if you need him to.
Yep.
And when you're looking at young Kiwi players who can cover a few spots and do both jobs well, surely have a bit of a head start on other players who only have one position.
And looking at the trialists that we've got in there, people like Tim Payne and that, they kind of fit that mold.
Yeah, true.
Where they can come in defence, they can do the central midfield. And whilst I think Roofs will be the starting 6/8, depending on your formation and other personnel, he will be starting in there. And having backup and someone like Te Arawhai, we also know that don't you hate it when names go out of your mind? Libby can play in that kind of position as well.
Yeah.
And we have cover on the left and right right defence with Walter Scott in there as well.
So I forget that.
There's a lot of utility. I mean, you need utility in an A-League squad anyway, right? Because they're not big and you do have to have cover and players that can play in multiple positions like that. Like Fenton can play right back, he can play right midfield. You know, that kind of thing is really necessary.
And Te Arawhai absolutely brings that to the table.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think Payne does as well, as you said, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him the next one. I mean, him and Te Arawhai were both the kind of likelies out of those trialists, you'd have to say. People including me have been saying that for a while. So the first cab off the rank, that's great, but I would expect Payne to be soon, or maybe Bevan as well, who knows. But those are the guys who seem most likely.
Yeah.
There's a few other names there that it's a bit more.
The list: Alex Milano, Joe Coletti, Xander Houtkoop.
That's such a great name. I want him to sign just so I can get that name on a shirt.
Houtkoop. It must be Dutch or something.
Would that be better than Griffin McMaster?
That would surpass Griffin McMaster.
Best name in the
Xander as well. Yeah. Any name with Simon on the X.
He is Dutch. I think he's Dutch Indonesian or Dutch Thai, something like that.
I was making a good joke there, and you just talked over it.
Continue talking, Cam.
Anyway, the other player who's at the club at the moment trialing is Tommy Semi from Hamilton. Yep. People on Twitter, Andrew Woolman, have been screaming out for ages. I find this a bit interesting. I don't think he's import quality, and I'm not sure why we're looking at him. But anyway.
I'm not against him trialing by any stretch of the imagination. If he turns out that he is exactly like Krishna, then that's a great pickup.
We know that he's not.
But we say that, but we've only seen him play at X level.
We've only seen Krishna play at that level. Krishna was a cut above what Tommy Sammy's been doing.
Yeah, I'm prepared to give the guy a chance to trial. There's nothing wrong with giving him a chance to trial.
I think my concern about him being in for a trial is it says to me, and this is not necessarily the truth, but one fair interpretation of the situation is it means we don't think we can get an import striker better than Tommy Semi. And that worries me.
Or at least we're considering Tommy Semi as an option in case other things don't come through or things like that.
And I would hope that he would be about option Y. Not necessarily the worst option, but way down the list compared to the fact that we should have budget available. We said we're looking at import strikers. We should be getting someone in better than this, and you should have two or three names well ahead of that, if not more. And this should very much, for me, be a bottom option. But maybe if we're having a look at him now with a longer-term view or something like that, that makes a bit more sense to me. But if we're genuinely bringing him in and going, let's have a week to see if we think you're A-League quality, that worries me in terms of who the other options are that we're comparing him up against.
Yeah, we know that.
Another five David Ball level players should be well ahead of where Tommy Semmy is.
Yeah, I mean,
and, you know, that's not to say that we shouldn't look at players who are already here and all that, because he'd certainly come at a lower cost, but that worries me on some levels because we need another striker. If we already had a Roy in the bank, you'd go, yeah, okay, your other options you can take some gambles on, but I don't think we can take another gamble of that level up front.
Yeah, and Tommy Semmy, while he's been scoring goals, Hamilton hasn't set the league alight. And you kind of do need to set the league alight at handy prem level to prove that you are starting A-League quality.
And resident stats person Dale has done the numbers. And, you know, the thing about him is similar to Watto, for example, he scores goals against the lower teams.
Yeah.
You know, he goes a bit of a drought against the higher teams, but then puts in a hatful against lower teams. And, you know, you can score a hat trick against one team and then go four games without a goal and your goal record still looks pretty good. But it isn't what guys like Roy were doing, where they were consistently scoring no matter who the opposition
and
was.
And the thing is, when you're not scoring against top four teams in the handy prem, you're probably not going to be scoring against any team in the A-League because the A-League teams are another cut above the handy prem.
Even when you talk up the improved quality of players around them and the better delivery and all of that, you're still going to be up against better defenders and better goalkeepers.
And especially
you've got to be in better positions and you've got to be finishing
especially well. Especially the goals that Tommy Semmy scores. He's not exactly crafting them out of pure brilliance. They're kind of... he's quick and he exploits that.
Yeah. But I do genuinely think there's a decent chance he could be a good A-League player.
Like,
but
say,
I don't think he's there yet.
And
I don't think we've seen enough to take the gamble as the Phoenix yet.
There's been a lot of players who are quick that have come into the A-League who haven't made it.
Yeah.
And you do like speed is a fantastic advantage no matter what league you play in, but you still have to have a finish and you still have to have the ability to back it up.
And I think Roy's actually a good example of how far the league's come on that, because he isn't just doing it for pace anymore. When you can look back at Archie Thompson, for example, or early Roy, pace was all they offered. But the league's come on a long way, and Roy had to develop a lot more to his game in order to keep scoring goals. He couldn't just rely on pace alone. And players who have just relied on pace for certain periods of the A-League did quite well, but we've seen less and less and less of that over time.
You
I think the league's moved on.
You have Ninkovic's and Adam Lafondra's scoring the goals now rather than Archie Thompson's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your Fornaroli's and your Bobo's are guys that have more than one facet to their game.
And I think Roy was a good example of the fact he developed that. You know, in the National League, he could get away with pretty much just pace.
Yeah.
But we saw a bit more nuance to his touches and having to actually earn the goal a little sometimes.
The argument there is that you sign Tommy Semmy now and he can do that in 3-4 years' time. But I think now we need someone, especially for the season coming up, who's going to provide something now rather than being the long-term project.
Yeah, and that's the annoying thing. If you had a system outside of the 23-man A-League squad where you could have imports sitting there, that would be an option. And maybe you could find a way to work him into the National League as an overage player or something like that. But we just, you know, compared to, say, an English squad where you can just put players on the shelf over there and see how they develop over a bit of time, I think he'd be one to do that.
You sign them and you load them down the league slightly.
That's not a thing we can do.
Yeah.
And it's not worth the gamble having him in the 23 at this point for mine.
Yeah.
But I do hope absolutely we keep an eye on him, and if he develops the way that he could well be a Roy of the future.
Yeah.
He's still young. He's only 23, 24.
That was what surprised me.
He's not 19, though. If he was 19, he'd snap him up into the National League squad and say, go for it, play for us, see how you go.
Yeah.
That would make perfect sense. Yeah. It's a real pity he's just over that age.
Yeah, well, and he hasn't been in the country that long in terms of becoming local soon either. So, you know, there's bits and pieces there that are not ideal for him.
Yeah. Anything else happening in Phoenix land that I've missed somehow over the last kind of week or so?
No.
Did we pod last week? I can't remember. I don't think we did.
No, we did. Was it last week? Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Still waiting on the draw, still waiting on the kit.
Yeah.
So we'll probably pot again when those things are available. Sarpreet's doing wonderful things.
Yeah, he took a selfie with Thomas Müller.
Yeah, which certainly a step up from going to play Arsenal, AC Milan and Real Madrid or whoever it is over the next week from playing Rapper and the Central League selection in pre-season last year.
Certainly a step up on taking selfies with Ryan Lowry, for sure. But other than that, I don't think there's much more to talk about.
Well, I'm going to drop in one thing that we might well cut, because it might get vetoed. But there's actually the Maradona movie coming out soon.
Really?
But my club has a fundraiser next week where we're screening an advanced screening of it. So if you're interested in that, you can check out our Facebook page. I accept that I'm pumping my own club's fundraiser,
I am interested.
Yeah.
When is it?
It's next Wednesday night.
And how much is it?
It's $20 a ticket, and it comes out in about a month. So we're about 3 or 4 weeks before the main release.
Which club do you...
Wellington United.
There we go.
And it's at the club rooms?
No. It's at Penthouse Cinema in Brooklyn.
Ooh.
Okay. Is it Penthouse or what's one up there called? Lighthouse.
No.
Penthouse is right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes. I'm getting mixed up with the Paramount, which is closed.
Penthouse
in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Very
good football
exciting.
Movie. Feel free to come and check it out.
Does clash with the Phoenix preseason game against Wairarapa.
But most people in Wellington probably aren't travelling over for a 5:30 game.
No.
It's not aimed at us, as we talked about before we recorded tonight. It's aimed at people who are there and kids and things like that. So fair play to them.
I don't think we talked about that on air, Patrick.
No, we didn't. I said before we recorded tonight, we spoke about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have conversations outside of the podcast. We don't have everything recorded. Sometimes I wish we did, but we don't. So,
some of our outtakes.
Is the Maradona movie better than United Passions? Is it Maradona
propaganda? I haven't seen it. It's not released yet, Patrick.
Okay.
But it's a movie about Maradona.
I'm going to go, yes, it is. Is it called Hand of God?
Okay. Have you guys seen United Passions?
No.
It is terrible.
No, I have not.
Is that the one that FIFA commissioned?
That's the FIFA commissioned
Sam Neill and Tim Roth?
Yeah.
I've chosen not to watch it because
I won't be watching
it. I watched it ironically. It was a waste of fucking, like, I was live
tweeting. It was a race of irony.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
Yeah.
That will do for this week, I think. We'll wrap up and we'll come back to you when something happens.
Maybe in a couple of weeks, and we might know a draw, and we might see a kit. And we've got a game to talk about.
Yeah, we'll do an FA Cup preview, I think, and then we'll come back after that game.
Well, there'll be some preseason. I'm sure we'll have some word from our wrap up. So
yeah.
Maybe next week, maybe the following.
Yeah, we'll let you know. Anyway, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Manchester Derby Benchwarming brings you
Eyes on the Ball brings you.
Oh, good one, Pat. Like that. Pushcast nominees brings you.
That's not how you say it.
Pushcast nominees brings you.
Pushkus.
That's what I said.
No.
Pushkus nominees brings you.
No.
Yeah, fuck you.